一下我们。You might be seated. Remember, Yahweh's eyes and his heart is here watching you right now. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The world is so many of them out of work, and they're saying now, if we don't work, you don't work. And we're going to shut down your businesses. We're going to shut down your bridges. I'm not in on it. No, no, I've got Yahweh's work to do here. I need to read you some, just a couple of articles here. The world, anyone that can't see that this world's in a mess, physically, spiritually, mentally, there's something wrong. And of course, all they got their mind on is paying their bills. I remember the Dale Carnegie Institute years ago, they had this survey, and it was the, it is more or less concerning apathy, which, you know, there's so many drugs in the world right now that, you know, that's a problem all over. And, you know, there could be this this study, of course, showed that people really doesn't, they really don't have their minds on changing the world around them, except maybe the neighbor next door whose dog's getting into my garbage, who stole my bicycle off my porch, cut the cable to my television set. Well, that's a no-no, I'll tell you. That's war. World war. you just don't want to cut that TV box off. And, of course, that's where people let their brains rot. And that's the reason, you know, we're having so much of this right now. People won't study their scriptures, which is the source of all knowledge, and if they had this knowledge of Yahweh, this great wisdom that he gives in the Holy Scriptures, then they'd know that that everything is going backwards right now, and we've got to reverse the whole thing. But we could do that in 90 days if we were asked to do it. If the nations asked us, we could do it in 90 days. Maybe shorter time than that, But I think in 90 days we could turn this whole thing around. Everything would be on a peaceful track. Within a year, I would think we would have everyone living in peace, their own jobs, their own security. Security. You know, Yahweh offers security. The world doesn't offer security. It offers a maybe. maybe. Well, what caught my attention this week, what Yahweh brought to my attention, you may have seen it. The Taylor County Sheriff candidates take drug test, wants incumbents to do the same. By next week, Taylor County Sheriff candidate Art Cesar expects to receive results of a hair follicle drug test that he said he took to try to get Sheriff Bruce to do the same at two political forums, one held in January and another held in April. Bruce, the incumbent, has refused to submit to a drug test. Of course, this is looking bad for him, and they're going to make it look worse if he doesn't take it. Of course, he may look worse if he takes it. Thursday, Cesar, I think that's the way you pronounce it, submitted a hair follicle test at the Abilene Testing Lab. Any lab test now. The test said lab owner Linda Roark will search for marijuana, cocaine, amphetamines, and opiates. That's O-P-I-A-T-E-S. Now, you need to write that word down, because if you remember the work that was brought out recently about the babies and what they're born with and the babies today, especially if they're born in the hospital and they're trying to knock out midwifery for sure. But if they're born in the hospitals, they bring them down. And we're not the only ones that know this, but one baby per hour now is born in prescription drug withdrawals. The baby is a drug addict when he's born. Now that's what we're bringing forth to our children today. And of course they emphasize on this a little. See, this was a story on CNN. The cry of a baby withdrawing from prescription opiates. Did you get that? The cry of a baby withdrawing from prescription opiates is shrill, as if the child is in terrible pain. It's a very high-pitched, uncomfortable cry. The characteristic cry is increasingly ringing through the hallways of hospitals nationwide, according to new research. By 2009, there were more than 13,000 babies born with neonatal abstinence syndrome, a withdrawal syndrome that occurs in some babies after being exposed to a class of painkillers called opiates while in ortho, according to the study published Monday. Now, that's what they want to find. These opiates, we don't know how long or if ever they will actually get out of the bloodstream or out of the human body. Opiate, any of various substantive narcotics containing opium or one or more of its natural, and get that word natural along with this now, natural or synthetic derivatives. Now that is what they're testing for. Now this week, remember those two things now. And as, if you're watching the news or ever watch the news, try to keep the prophecies in mind and what we're facing, what I've brought out that we're facing right now. We're facing sickness and disease as the Savior said we would at this time. Are y'all with me now down there? Praise Yahweh. We're facing a lot of sickness, a lot of disease. We're facing mental illness that babies are being born with. This mental diseases that they're being born with, they don't even detect most of these. It's like 100%. But they only detect about maybe 50% at the most. The protesting that we see in the United States, now they don't know what they want, except they want jobs and they want security. They don't know what to do. They couldn't tell the president or the congressmen or senators what they actually want. And when they asked them, "What would you like for me to do if I get in office? What would you like for me to do?" Well, they want jobs. They want security. Well, how would you like for me to arrange this? What can I do to bring you more jobs to this territory? Well, we don't know. That's the reason we're putting you in office. You're supposed to know these things. You're running for office. As the scripture said, in this time period, we'll see the people will look at someone and say, "Hey, you're well-dressed. Come be our leader. You have a big house and and you have a this and that, two cars in every garage and so forth, come be our leader. You must have a vast amount of intellectualism. So come be our leader. That's actually a prophecy for this time period. So the protesters that we see now, they see that things are not right. They see things are getting worse. Well, how much worse can it get? We've lost our jobs. We've lost our homes. We've lost our television set that we cherish so much every evening, above all. We've lost everything we had. One person was telling me that they were trying to move the stuff into their children's house because the mother and dad had bought a big mansion. The children couldn't afford a mansion, so they were trying to keep from losing everything before the sheriff came and foreclosed and said, you can't go back in this house. It all belongs to the bank. So they were trying to move all this stuff into their son's house. Well, the son's house wouldn't even hold all of it. Not stacked up high to the ceiling, it wouldn't hold all of it. Mother and Daddy, what are we going to do? Well, I don't know, but I can't lose this television set. I've got to put it somewhere, along with all this other stuff that they were going to lose because they couldn't make payments on it and they owed payments on everything they had in the house. Well, this is the kind of mess they're in, and they say, we want a job. Well, what for? So we can buy another television set. So we can buy another mansion and start making payments on a house and fill it with junk and buy a storage or two storages or three storages to go around this house to put stuff we don't use out in these storages. We don't want to lose it, you know. We got to store it. So let's spend about $20,000 on a storage building to store this stuff in that we'll never use. Well, you can see how much sense this makes. So they've lost it all, about 15 to 30 million people now, families that is, have lost it all. And they're protesting and saying, you know, there's enough of us here, and if we put enough pressure on, we'll get jobs. Well, building back what we tear up, I guess. But nothing in the world makes any sense now. And the scriptures, the prophecies, came to that, and I showed you, and we was talking last week. Remember, the wicked will not know anything? Remember that? No wicked will understand. Now, you've got to keep this in your minds. You've got to get this in your minds. No wicked will have understanding. It's gone from them. Darkness has covered them. They did not like to retain Yahweh in their knowledge. Remember Romans, the first chapter? They didn't want to retain wisdom. Yahweh is the only one that has true, unselfish wisdom to give us. Right. Praise Yahweh. Make it loud. Yes. Unselfish wisdom. And he offers it free and offers eternal life to anyone that will take it and abide by it. And that's where you come in right now, because you're saying, yes, we want your wisdom, Yahweh, and we will be glad to teach it to the entire world. On the other hand, I think Bill Hawkins is wrong about this here. Well, he didn't know enough about this word. See, he pronounced did he pronounce the? Oh, I don't remember now. You know, that's why Rome fell. You know that, don't you? They couldn't pronounce er. They pronounced it air. Or did they pronounce it air-er? Oh, I don't know. What difference does it make? They fell anyway. But that's what caused it. They didn't know to put a silent E there. They didn't know to pronounce the. Now, we tried for years to get them to pronounce the. We wrote books and encyclopedias. We got Google. We Googled it for them. It still didn't help. So they fell. And that's the reason. Yeah. to be frank with you, the world is run by a bunch of intellectual idiots that, and praise Yahweh, that hasn't got sense enough to know true wisdom when they see it. And when it's shown to them, they let Satan get in and start finding some kind of difficulty with the way he pronounced a word. For heaven's sakes, don't you know you're running down Yahweh himself? Did you understand what the men or the men or men or air men? Well, you screwed up the air, I know that. That's what screwed it up. Well, here, there are many protests spread throughout the U.S. You just saw these protesters spread throughout the United States. In this same news now, we see a picture here I want to show you. I hope you're familiar with it. You see that? That painting sold for $120 million this week. You see the shape of on that girl's face? It's called The Scream by Edward Bunce. He wrote at the bottom of this. Now, this man was hurting. And with all of his money, he couldn't have changed it. He's probably born with some of it, just like we're seeing right here. We're seeing officials that are afraid to take the drug test because of what it will reveal. We're seeing people who are trying to get him to that was probably had it in their system when they were born. So you know, it's like the Jew calling the Jew a Gentile. One Jew calling another Jew a Gentile. Well, he called this nature. He said this at the bottom of the screen. Nature was screaming in my blood. Now, if you could figure out what this man was talking about, and how many saw this week on the news? Anybody? Did you look up any of these in scriptures? How many looked up the word nature in scriptures? Anybody? Well, that's where you would have found the wisdom of Yahweh, the word nature. It's found in Galatians 4:8, and it means, it's a phrase including devils, men regarded as deified, men regarded as deified. Surely you know about that. Means idols, gods, demons. It means very negative me. It also, I'll get that out of your sight. It also means drugs and drug use, which of course again brings forth apathy, a non-curing attitude about the world around us. I'm so glad that all of you care what's going on in the world today. Praise Yahweh. Now, with that in your mind, and I'm not getting off of this subject, I want you to turn back to Daniel. And you've got to get this in your mind. Well, no, let's see Luke first, because the Savior here. The Savior is talking to you here. And unless you understand this, you won't understand why I want to go to Daniel. In Luke 21, and keep in mind what we just saw about this being in the blood, it's in the body. Nature is screaming in my blood. We saw in the same news this week, there was something like 8 football players, stars, that died. And one of them, I think he killed himself. And he left a suicide note. Now get this. Here is a star, a football star, that they're the ones that make the other boys want to go to school because they're in hopes they will get to be a football star. And 8 of them died, and some of them, I don't know how many it was, killed themselves, but one of them left a suicide note. And he said, I want to donate my brain to science. And I want them to see if they can find out what is wrong with me. Why am I feeling this way? He had pain, nature, screaming in his blood. The same thing that this artist was trying to bring forth in this picture to the world. Because it's screaming in everybody's blood today. That same thing that this man was suffering. Same thing these football players were suffering. In the same news was an initiation and a band leader that they beat to death in the initiation. And we're going to schools that teach intellectualism. And what did they teach? On the same news now, they had two professors of educational ministers talking about the education today. One of them was saying that we have much more now to offer the children because of computers. Now, this is the increase of knowledge that you heard me talk about last week and week before last. He said, we have much more to offer to the children today. And the other one was saying, no, you've taken away the basics, the basic education that the children need in order to offer them this intellectualism that the children are studying today from pushing buttons, computers, and so forth. If you took the children out of the city today, or if the water, electricity, and so forth was shut off and the food line stopped, the computer shut down and the truck line stopped that brings them their food every day. Yes, it comes in every day to the city. And you shut it down, which it's going to do. Nuclear war is going to do this. They haven't got sense enough to tighten a screw to keep a screen door from falling off its hinges. Now, that's how bright they are. I went to school, and I learned, yes, from the books. I studied every subject. But where I was really taught was from my home. You know, I was trying to remember how far back that I could cook a meal and take care of myself. But it was a very young age that I could fix breakfast better than most cafeterias today, I think. I could fix dinner. I knew how to separate food and put mixed food together. I could take a plow, any plow. In fact, Dad said when somebody was trying to borrow one of his cultivators, this guy wanted the easiest one to run, and he said, well, that's okay, take it. He said Bill can run any cultivator. Well, I think I was about 9 years old at that time. And, of course, if you know anything about cultivation, you know that some cultivators are run different than others, and you don't, and I know. You don't know what a double tree is, a single tree is. You don't know what a line, a horse's line, a bridle. If you ask someone how to farm today with a horse and horses and mules, they couldn't do it. They can push buttons, but you don't learn much with buttons, pushing buttons, as far as living is concerned. And this is what the argument was between these two professors of education. And each one was bringing forth his points because now there's an uprising in the schools that the children are really not learning anything. And the things that they are learning are worthless to them in everyday life. A woman can go through college and she would come home, marry one of the college students, and a divorce would be in process after about the first week or two. Now, that's how much they're learning in the schools of the world, the schools of the world. Well, Yeshua, of course, and Daniel was talking about a time period when knowledge would be increased. Knowledge because of the house of Yahweh and things that was hidden from the foundations of the earth. It was hidden, couldn't be explained. Couldn't even be explained until a witness was born that Yahweh said, I will give knowledge to that witness and he'll bring it forth. And Satan says, on the other hand, well, here in Luke 21, the Savior, in verses 10 and 11, the Savior is pointing out things that's going to be. And of course, they were arguing with the Savior at this time, too. And they accused him, they arrested him, they crucified him. And you know where it started? The wagging of the tongue, as one of the apostles said. How great a fire a little word can kindle, or a little tongue can kindle. Anything negative said about the work, Yeshua said, won't be forgiven. Anything negative. Now, you might ought to repent of what you've done if you're doing it, no matter how smart you think you are and how dumb you think this Okie is. I'm the one that's got your eternal life. Yahweh is offering it through his house today, and the time is running out for you. You need to repent, and you need to start building the house. Building it. Don't run it down. Not with one single word. Well, here the Savior says now, and he's talking about in verse 10 there, he said, then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. He's talking about wars in verse 9 and rebellion. That's what we're seeing in the world today. Great earthquakes in verse 11 will be throughout place to place with famines. This is what's coming, as Revelation shows. It's the next step forward now of this quartet. The Savior is telling you what is the next step in your life, what you can expect. 21 verse 11, you got it? Great earthquakes, how would he know that? With famines, with pestilence, disease epidemics, this could strike you. It could strike you. They're airborne, you're breathing them. And if you get the right ones, there's death everywhere today. Because we have been in a fix to where we don't care. We don't care what's going on around us. And the whole world is in this attitude today. Some of them were born with it because the drugs that I just mentioned, especially that one that they're giving to women, pregnant women, that the baby comes out with and has to have a drug withdrawal time period of about 16 days before they even stop crying. They're because they're in deep pain, given by the intellectuals that are running, the intellectual idiots that are running the world today. Now, Yeshua is telling us it's going to be that way. Well, it is that way. How did he know it was that way? Wouldn't you like to be that smart? You can. You can be that smart if you'll just pay attention and start reading this wisdom that Yahweh gives you. Now he says you're going to see in verse 11, the last part, you're going to see fearful sights and great signs in heaven. We're seeing these great signs in heaven. In fact, it's put over the land of Yahweh first. He actually starts showing us this first. Wait till you see what is coming next from the devils and those crying out with nature in their blood that's giving them pain, so much pain that they can't stand to live with it any longer. wanting to commit suicide. Thousands upon thousands. Have you read of the thousands of cases of suicide? Get me that article, that information. I want it next week. But before all these things, now you see what he's saying there. Look at it. Before all these things, now Yeshua's going to show you. He's talking to you, every one of you. He's talking to you. He says, before all these things, I'm going to show you what else is going to take place. And then he shows what they're going to start doing to the disciples, how they're going to start killing them. And then if you go on down now to verse 16, he says parents is going to turn against children, brothers and sisters turn against each other. How would you possibly turn your parents? Parents, he says parents are going to be against their children. Parents against their children. And look at verse 20 now. Now, when you see Jerusalem surrounded with armies, then know that its desolation is near. How would you know what he's talking about there? This is the Savior giving you a message, because this message is for our day. Although he was speaking to his disciples, Yeshua is showing you right now something that is going to take place, has taken. She's showing you past prophecy that's fulfilled, so you'll know that the other that hasn't taken place is going to take place. See the armies compass Jerusalem. How would you know where to look? What else would you know? If you're as dumb as the world, you'd never know. None of the wicked will understand. Why? Because they don't care about righteousness. They don't care about the great wisdom they have passed up. You didn't want to retain Yahweh in your knowledge? Then let it be taken from you. Now that's the prophecy, and it's going to come to pass. And Yahweh in the last days is offering his house great wisdom, great understanding. And you can pass it up, and you can criticize it, because I say thee instead of the. I say instead of er. I got some greater than that I'm going to show you later. Okay, hold your place now. And remember what he says. What does he say there? Look at it again. Read it for yourself. Did you notice the desolation? Did you notice the armies around Jerusalem? How did he know this was going to take place? This was written in 29 A.D. 29 A.D. It didn't take place till 40 years later. 70 C.E. How did he know that? Hold your place in Luke and go back to Daniel. Now, if you knew the book of Daniel, which you should be reading this book. You should be reading the Holy Scriptures. You should be listening to the sermons. Now, remember, Yahshua is talking to you here in Luke, Luke 21:20. He said, now, when you see Jerusalem, this is Jerusalem, Israel. When you see Jerusalem in Israel surrounded with armies, then know its desolation is near. He is speaking to people that was alive in 29 A.D. This didn't come to pass until 70 C.E. A.D., 70 A.D. That's 40 years later. The Savior was telling these people an army is going to surround this city. You see how important that is? This is a prophecy. He's saying the armies are going to surround this city, Jerusalem. And that's where you're going to see desolation take place. And he says, not one stone upon another will remain here. Hold your place in Luke. Look at Daniel 11 and verse 31. Read it. This is what he was referring to. When you see these armies compass Jerusalem, circle Jerusalem, then know this desolation. What desolation? Of course, can you hold both places and find
what he said in Matthew 24? Hold both places. Don't let it slip. And look at Matthew 24, verse 15. The Savior was telling the people here, this also was written 29 A.D. Therefore, when you will see the Lord of heaven, or as the King James Version said, the abomination that makes desolate. Now, you should know what abomination is. Abomination is eating pork. That's one thing. Abomination is touching unclean animals, unclean bodies. Anything that has a body that is dead, except the clean animals. It's not abomination to touch clean animals, but it is unclean animals, like dogs and cats and pigs. So abomination is something that the so-called Jews brought forth in the time of Samuel. I've showed you that, how they turned against the great wisdom of Yahweh. The book of Romans is written to those people. Romans, written to the Romans, same people, same so-called Jews. They spread out to Rome, and they built this army, a roving army, a Roman army, a roving army. And he says, when you see this abomination of desolation, or as it the Interpreter's Bible Dictionary says, the Lord of heaven, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Do you get that? Spoken of, you see that? Daniel the prophet, you read it? When you see it. And here he's saying, now back in Luke again, hold your place in Daniel, and look at verse 24. Well, verse 20, he says, now when you see Jerusalem surrounded with armies, then know its desolation is near. What a wonderful prophecy. What wonderful wisdom Yahweh has to offer. He's the only being in the universe that can actually foretell the future. No man can foretell the future. No woman. No God. None of them even claim that they can. Now, over here to Daniel, when you see this prophesied by Daniel, back to Daniel now, 11 and verse 31, and the army will stand on his part. Well, you'd have to know who his is referring to. His, that's referring to the one that changed the laws, the Catholic Church, who were called elders of Israel, who turned against in rebellion and said, well, Samuel is pronouncing the. No, he's pronouncing thee, or something like that. He must not be too bright. Smartest man on the face of the earth. But the Galileans were saying, we don't want your intellectualism. We want Yahweh's wisdom. And Yahweh's wisdom can tell you when the armies, a roving army, is going to stand on the part of this character in Daniel 7, who changes, hold your place in Daniel 11, and flip back there two pages, to Daniel 7. Daniel 7. And look at verse 24. Daniel 7, verse 24. This is speaking about a religion, and is speaking about the fourth empire that everyone knows is the Roman Empire. Every Bible scholar on earth knows that. If he's worth his weight in salt, he knows that the fourth beast was the Roman Empire that took over the world. The history proves that. Took over the whole world, and their historians brag about it. And the religious leader that led that army, spoken of there that you just read, that stands on the part of this religion, the ten horns out of the kingdom. This is Daniel 7 now in verse 24. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are kings, that will arise, and another will arise after them, and he shall be different from the first. Well, how is he different? Notice, he will speak great words against Yahweh. Against Yahweh. Got that? He's going to talk against Yahweh. He may be sitting in the crowd. And they may go home and get on the phone and say, did you hear how he pronounced the? And will wear out, that is mentally attacked, cause to fall away. Listen to me now, cause to fall away with words. The saints of Yahweh, and think to change times. That word times means feast days or Sabbath days. Why would he want to change the Sabbath day? Why wouldn't they want to rest? They want to rest one day a week. The week is only 7 days. Why would they want to change that? Because that is an appointment with Yahweh, and you get great wisdom from Yahweh when you keep that appointment at his Sabbath day. On his Sabbath. Change the feast days or Sabbaths and laws, and they will be given unto his hand until a time. Did you get that? Time. Be sure and pay attention to that word time and times. You got it? Now go back to Daniel 11:31 again. Don't forget the word times. And the army will stand on his part, and they will pollute the sanctuary of strength and take away the daily, they put sacrifice, but that's a daily study of Yahweh's laws that was taught by those who stood in Moshe's seat. And they will place the Lord of heaven there. Remember what Yahshua said in Matthew 24, when you see the Lord of heaven standing here with the armies surrounding Jerusalem, know that its destruction is near. It didn't take place for 40 years, but it took place. 70 CE, history shows you that. Now go back to Luke now, and the message that Yahshua is giving you here in this chapter. Luke 21, and notice verse 24. Luke 21, and notice verse 24. Remember what I told you to remember? The word times? I'll turn back and read it to you again. Don't turn back. It'll take you too long. I'm going to read it to you again. Daniel 7, and verse 25. He will speak great words against Yahweh and will wear out, mentally attack the saints of Yahweh, and think to change times. Times. That's the feast days of Yahweh and laws, and they will be given into his hand until. How long will he be able to do this? Until a time and times and dividing of times. Now, you got Luke now. Luke 21 and verse 24 now. Remember the word time and times given in Daniel. That's what the Savior told you to look for. When you see these armies come past Jerusalem, know that this temple is going to be destroyed. Then he told his disciples that not one rock would stand upon another that would not be cast down. Well, he says in verse 24, Luke 21, 24, after he's talking about signs in heaven now, but he says all these other things are going to take place. First, look back again to 21 and verse 11. Great earthquakes will be throughout the place. This is in the last days now. Verse 9, he says, you will hear of wars and rebellion. Do not be terrified, for those things must come to pass first. But the end is not yet, not right away. Verse 10, then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That's what we're seeing right now. Even the people are rising up in their own nations against their own kingdoms they have created. Then he says in verse 11, great earthquakes will be throughout place to place with famines and pestilence, that is sickness, disease, that we're seeing children born with. Epidemics. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. That's what we're seeing in the heavens now, is these great signs from heaven to us. But notice verse 12. But before all these takes place, this will be the end. But before the end comes, you're going to see the temple destroyed, he said. Now look over to verse 24. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led away captive into all nations. He's talking about the people in Israel. He's talking about everyone, because they couldn't get the laws out of these people. They built a whole new system, and they built this to the in a way that they could start destroying everyone who would follow Yahweh's laws or try to follow Yahweh's laws. That same system has come down to us today. That's the reason we're being persecuted for bringing forth this message to the world. That's the reason we're suffering persecution. And he said, Yahweh said in prophesying about this persecution in Isaiah 44, he said, the brother Yisrael, the witness Yisrael, is going to suffer reproach. But he also said it's going to be bad for the person who brings that about with his tongue. You could lose your salvation in doing so. Now, remember this. And notice verse 24, and they will fall by the edge of the sword. They have for many years now. Hitler, in trying to destroy this work that you're sitting in right now, brought forth in this time period great wars, starting just before I was born. He started this killing, thinking he was going to kill off Yahweh's witness. 1934. And now notice again, that they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. Jerusalem will be trampled down by the unbelievers there. That's what it is. Until, you notice the word until again. Until the times. Times of the unbelievers or heathen is fulfilled. It's given into his hand to destroy the laws of Yahweh until these times, these three times that he mentions here. That's the Savior telling you again what to look for here. How long is this going to be where they can put down the laws of Yahweh and the world be filled with idiots? Doing everything that is wrong, everything that is bringing them trouble, and yet they haven't got sense enough to turn from it. They just continue in the same idiocy. How long will it be before they will gain some knowledge? And Yahweh shows it, and he says, I will bring, he told Daniel, I'm going to bring forth or increase this knowledge in this time period called the times and the dividing of times. Now, if you don't know what that is, you really need to study it out this week. The times and dividing of times. That prophecy. Until the times of the heathen is fulfilled, because he's let it go into their hands. Now, go back to Daniel 12 now, again, Daniel 12, the times he's talking about here. Your Savior is telling you how long this idiocy is going to last. When babies are being filled with dope and having to be born, coming out from under dope, having withdrawals of up to 16 days of crying and pain from the dope that was given the mother. And then they're saying to the sheriff, well, take a test here and prove to us that we're not dealing with a dope addict. That's what they're telling the sheriff to do, and he's reluctant to do it. This is what kind of shape that we're facing in the world. prophesied, and the Savior is telling you, here is what it's going to be. Until the times of the Gentiles, or times of the heathen, the unbelievers, is fulfilled. Now look back to Daniel 12 and verse 7. And remember, the Savior says, when you see Daniel's prophecy being fulfilled, know this. Well, they surrounded Jerusalem, just like the Savior said. 40 years later, they destroyed the temple, moved all the artifacts to Rome by their roving army, and set up a religion there that ruled the world, the Roman Empire, which the Pope is saying we need to resurrect the Roman Empire. Well, actually, it never died, as Daniel said. It's still in operation. Well, in Daniel 12 now, in verse 7, you see this time and times and the half time, up until this time. And then he says, two others is going to be bringing forth salvation and the great wisdom of Yahweh. And Yahweh says that person is going to be of quick understanding. Quick understanding. Well, maybe you can see the idiocy now and a little of it in the intellectualism. We have article after article showing it each week. Painters, artists painting it for the people. Football players, football stars dying, leaving notes. Please help me to understand. Well, of course, the man is dead now. He took his own life. So we'll resurrect him, of course, and we'll show him what went wrong. Well, what went wrong, Yahweh showed back in Genesis, as early as Genesis, Genesis the 49th chapter. He says, all of this is coming down to you in the last days. It's all coming from the 12 tribes. And try to remember all I've brought about Gentiles and what a false word it is. It's coming to you from these 12 tribes, and this is what you're going to be suffering in the last days. From the lion, you remember that word, Lion of Judah? From the Lion of Judah? Well, of course, if you've checked out the names like Sizzlard, it's not Sizzlard now, you know, that's a short form, that's a lazy form. Pay attention to what the intellectuals are trying to do to throw you off. Sizzlard. That's the way it's pronounced. If you pronounce it Sizzlard, you have to use a U in the lard and wipe out the A. But this is what they do. They change the wording to throw people off. And anytime they do, there's a reason behind it. Rest assured, there's a reason behind it. Sizzlard. When you see the lard in heaven. Lard in heaven? When you see the lard in heaven, and you see it sitting in the holy place, Sizzlard. Who was Sizzlard? You remember? Sizzlard. Leo. Leo Sizzlard. Where's that word come from? Leo. It means lion. Where does that word lion? The Lion of Judah. Comes straight down to you today. And they say, oh no, I'm a German. Their intellectualism flew right out the window. They don't even know what a German is. Half of the people, I'd say 99% of the people that pronounce that word don't know what it means. They probably don't know what Italy means, or France, or German, or Roman. They probably don't know those words either, or what they mean. Well, how could they? They don't even know that the temple was destroyed. What was the temple? I don't know. They don't know that the artifacts were carried to Rome. They think somebody hid them under a hill somewhere. Somebody else came along and found them and hid them somewhere else, and then they had an earthquake, and they have so many tales. Well, what about Rome? How did this start? To a she-wolf. A she-wolf. She found two twins out there and raised them, and one of them killed the other one.
Mythology is full of it. Well, that's Satan's way. The whole world today is being led by the same mythology, the same intellectual idiocy that come forth from Nimrod. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!